If you understand that the yesod of ishtad is to be mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, and you don't have to make ishtadus, which goes connected to Torah. And as a ramification that he just brought in here, the problem that is very, very rampant today, of Nois Yisrael who are going out and working and supporting the families, that they should find places to work that is not chas v'chalila, the opposite of what the purpose of Ishtadlis is. They're being Mois and Nefesh to support Torah. The Mesiris Nefesh they're making should be in line with what the Torah wants. And the same with us. Doesn't matter if the girls or not. The Ishtadlis we make should be Ishtadlis that's in line with the desires of the Torah. In fact, the Chayim Sof Ovah says one of the reasons we make Ishtadlis is because Hashem is testing us to see whether you'll make Ishtadlis. That's one of the reasons it's Ishtadlis. We're not going with that mahalach here for now, but it's not a stira, but I'm just saying we're not going with that. But the mahalach here is to be Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim. How are you going to be Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim and support Torah and build Torah on the back of dodgy Ishtadlis? That's basically what we've been saying up to now.
On the back of dodgy what?
Ishtadlis.
But if the parnasa has nothing to do with the Ishtadlis, why the wife has to work?
Someone has to make Ishtadlis. Someone has to make the Ishtadlis. Born again, you need Ishtadlis. Why the Gedolei Yisrael came out with what they came out with, we have no idea. I don't have an idea. Maybe you have. I don't exactly understand it, which is good because I don't have to understand everything the Gedolei Yisrael said. But there's not one that's ever come out against it, which means you see there was a consensus amongst all the Gedolei Yisrael. If you want to be makim Torah, I'm not saying it hasn't changed since the Rosh Hashanah. Today the world is different. And today more men are going out and working or whatever because Baruch Hashem, the Torah world is, I'll put it exactly, the Torah world is rebuilt, let's say.
Yeah.
But at the state of emergency post the Holocaust, where the rove of the Torah world had been destroyed, they felt that the only way to do this was for the Ishtadlis to be made by the wife, so the husband said no, without any daigas of Ishtadlis. And that's what they decided. So you're asking two questions. First of all, why make Ishtadlis bichlal? And second of all, why does it have to be on the woman to make Ishtadlis? You see, somebody has to make Ishtadlis. Somebody has to make Ishtadlis. Thank you. Someone has to make Ishtadlis. It was decided that the men would make Ishtadlis being Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim by sitting and learning. And the woman would be the ones who would go out and work. It's almost impossible for us to understand that.
Yeah.
But that's what they decided. That's what they did. Good. The same it's impossible to understand why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi agreed to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. We don't understand that either. It's quite impossible to understand. Anybody that understands what a churban it was writing down the Torah Shebal Peh understands it was impossible. That's Eis Laso Eis Lashem. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. Eis Laso, he says, you're allowed to do it, but it stays awesome.
There was probably a lot of machlokes against it at the time, too.
I have no idea. I don't know how it worked there. The bottom line is that an Eis Lasois stays osse even after you do it. Ada Yom Hazeh, it's osse to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. It's osse. If you're only allowed to write down as much as you need. But the same with this. Called Kvedabas Melech Pnima. The whole of Klal Yisrael is based on the integrity of the Jewish home. And the Gedolei Yisrael said, go get the wife to go work. I don't understand. But if the Gedolim tell you your right hand, your left hand, you have to accept that as well, no? when the Chushim go against what the Gedolim are saying, Mordechai at Tzadik. We're in Adar, we can already stop talking about Purim. Oh, Hashem, been waiting since last Purim. If you look at the story of Purim, which is the Yesoda foundation of Emunas Chachomim, you see an amazing thing. What Mordechai was saying went against all logic and all Chushim. You know the story. Mordechai comes and tells the people not to go to the feast. What was the purpose of that feast? Ahasuerus had captured all the nations of the world and he wanted to unite them under his emperorship. And he had a feast for 6 months. And this was going to be the show of the century. And through this show of power and of total control, he was going to gain total control of the world. And if anybody would buck the system, they'd get killed. Moriah, Vashti. I'm not going to the whole story of Vashti now, that's a story, but Vashti would have got... And Mordechai says, don't go to the feast. And all the men said, what are you talking about? Are you out of your mind? You have a sugar? Not go to the feast? There's no reason not to go. It's all, whatever hechsher you want. You don't know the badatz, there's shalish. You don't want shalish, there's rubens. Yeah, whatever hechsher you want, whatever food you want. Wine, mechitzas, akolei akosha v'yosha. There's no isin gone to the feast. Lo nene me'asuda. But to go and not to go is mamash sakana nefoshes. He'll destroy us. The Yidden don't go pay homage and tribute to the new emperor. We'll get killed. Are you out of your mind? Mordechai didn't go to the feast. Everyone else went to the feast. What happened afterwards? Nothing. Peace and shalom for the Yidden for 9 years. 9 years. What happens after 9 years? Haman comes up and says, you have to bow to me. Mordechai, lo kam velo za. People said to him, what are you doing? You're out of your mind? You're starting your nonsense again? You're going to endanger the whole Jewish people. If you don't mishtachaveh to him, at least don't let him see you. You don't want to bow to him, beseder. And by the way, there's no yisin bowing to you. There's no yisin bowing to you.
We had that
hassle or whatever. Yeah, so whatever. I had kavanah for avodah zarah, but I'm mishtachaveh. Maybe a shal of Morris Ein. Maybe a shal of Morris Ein at the Rabbonin, ich weiß nicht. But there was no etzem isov avodah zarah by mishtachaveh to Haman. You don't want to bow down to him. Fine, avoid him. No, Yoshev Bashar Ha'ir. He sits mamash, we'll see him every day. But look, come for Lozah. So Haman says to him, at least stand up for me. Look, come. No, at least do a little, just wiggle your, Lozah. Look, come for Lozah. The period. What are you doing? Why are you antagonizing him? What are you doing? Mishtachaveh, or avoid him. But you're making trouble for Klal Yisrael. He's going to make a decree to kill us. And what happened? Exactly what they said was going to happen, happened. And what does Mordechai say? Imagine if someone would say this today, they'd kill him. If Mordechai was alive today, they'd lynch him. What does Mordechai say? When they come to him and say, look what you did. What's going to do with me? You went to the feast. That's what this is about. Can you imagine such a thing today? We told you twice not to do what you were doing, and we were right twice. You're telling us now it's because we went to the feast? And what did everybody say? You're right. You have to do tshuva, and they put on sackcloth, whatever. They all went to tshuva. They were all makabal what he said. That's the biggest nace. That's the nace of Purim. That's the nace of Purim Kipshutoi. I'm not saying this. The Altar of Kelm says this. I said it myself before having seen the Altar of Kelm. I had to write a thing for Purim in Eshat Torah. I used to put out a shtikel Torah. So I had to write a shtikel Torah. I said this chiddush there. So afterwards, the Altar of Kelm says the same thing. That was the Nes of Purim. What did we learn from that? When all your chushim, when all your five senses are telling you you're right and they're going to be wrong, that's when Emunas Chachamim starts. If your right hand, your left hand, your chushim are telling you they're wrong. Torah says you have to listen to them. They have to be gedolim first of all. We're not talking about any orthodox rabbi that comes along and tells you chas v'chalila. We're talking about what's called a gadol. That's the vortia. We don't understand. If you could understand, there wouldn't be Muna. You have Imuna that you have five fingers? No, there's no Imuna involved in that. If they come along and tell you your right hand, you need Imunas Chachomim for that. No Imunas Chachomim in that. They tell you your right hand, your left hand, there where you need Imunas Chachomim. That's another discussion, how you can believe someone who tells you your right hand, your left hand, you know he's wrong. How do you believe him? Fine, that's another discussion. That's the vote here. We don't understand this Hishas role. We don't understand it. Aval, that's what they said, and that's what we did in Baruch Hashem. The Torah world has rebuilt itself to the point where we can look at other options today, and are looking at other options today. What do you want to say? So we said there was a time where it was an enormous Mesiris Nefesh. A Bas Yisrael wanted to marry someone who's going to sit and learn. And she was makabal with enormous Mesiris Nefesh. By the way, you know when you sent out the woman, you know what you destroyed? You destroyed the backbone of the Jewish people. What is that? A Yiddish Mama. You destroyed the backbone of the Jewish people. You destroyed a Yiddish Mama. What's the definition of a Yiddish Mama? She has only one concern. What's with my children? What are they going to eat? What are they wearing? Where are they? What are they doing? That's her whole concern. Today, she's got 50 Talmidim whose parents are phoning, and she has to deal with them, and then there she goes, and she has parents and teachers meetings, and she's these advanced courses, and what happened to the Yiddish Mama? Very often the role of being a Yiddish Amama falls on the father. And fathers are not very good Yiddish Amamas. We don't have. I'm not talking, we spoke, everything. But I'm just saying, well, the panosa is never on the woman. The hishtadlis is on the woman. But the chiv panosa never ever left the woman, left the man and went to the woman. People believe me or not, I don't know. Go tell the, I'll let the dover posh it. Your wife's prepared to carry your baggage, it's still your baggage. It never became her baggage. Yeah. I've never heard anything different from anybody who knows anything about Torah. What are the responsibilities still his? Aval, she's prepared to help you and carry your baggage. As Gesundte. By the way, looking after the children's not her baggage either. It's yours. They're not her children. You have a chiv to look after your children. She does your chesed and looks after your children for you? Well, she has a chiv to look after your children? Show me where the chiv is. Show me where she has any other chiv other than just to have a hobby so she doesn't go mad from being bored. Show me where she has any other chiv. Take out your ksuv and show me where she is machayev you anything. To the best of my knowledge, the wife has a ksuv. She never gave me a ksuv. I don't have a prenuptial contract that she's chayev me anything. What is she chayev? It's all kulu chesed.
It's new. The generation of my grandparents, they never worked with my grandmother.
Of course not. Of course not. My grandmother, even when she used to go to the store, she went to the store because there was nothing to do at home. But she never worked in the store. What was she doing in the store? She was walking to the supermarket to go buy an apple for my grandfather. She would walk to the store to go get him lunch. She would make there to make sure that he had his tea in the afternoon or whatever. She was never working as such in the store. She was there to look after him. When she's in the store at home, it was the same thing. We once asked her if she wanted to install an oven into the store so she could bake there as well. You know, we used to have that joke. Like, there's nothing to what she's going to sit at home. So she went to the store. What she was doing in the store, looking after him. And then when we started working in the store, she started looking after us. Avada. Not only that, but the grandmother in the house with the mother and whatever. The kids grew up. Today, we have what's called nuclear societies. Today you have 2.5 children, a dog and a cat. And the mother and the father are out at work the whole day and the kids are in the tsaron until 6 o'clock. Once again, that's what it is. I'm not making any judgment calls
here. That was 30 years ago. I think it's even less.
Like it to mother and father.
Once again, I'm not saying it's good or bad, how or where, but you see, that's the way it is today. It gets even more ridiculous. I'll tell you why. The wife's working 2 jobs to keep the husband in learning. So there's no one at home to look after the children. So the husband's looking after the children at home while the wife's out there making a panosis that he can learn. But he's not learning because he's at home looking after the children because she's working. There's something wrong there as well, no? I see that. He can't learn because the wife's... Now, I'm not talking about a woman who needs to go out and work because that's what she needs for herself. There's someone that can't stay at home today. She needs to get out. She needs to do something with her life. Baruch Hashem, there are plenty of things that women need to do out there. I'm not saying not. But a woman that wants to stay at home today and build a home and raise children properly that the children aren't raised by some nanny? Ashreichem. Ashreichem. I have no idea. I don't have statistics. There are women today who don't feel a need and would rather stay at home and stay at home. I have a daughter like that. Her husband's sitting and learning and she'd better go work. So she runs a little gun at home. So she looks after her children and some other people's children. She knows that I'm telling you what she says. She says that the panasa comes from Hashem. Doesn't matter if I'm making ishtadlis here, I'm working across the road at the gun, or I'm working in an office somewhere. This is called ishtadlis. So I must speak. He's happy, she's happy. And she doesn't want to go out. She doesn't feel good. Yeah. Ada Yomazeh, that was still alive. Is that Hashem?
My daughter's just like that.
He gets a koilal salary, she gets money from the gun. Whatever, he has a bit of an income from other stuff that he does, whatever, teaches the mitzvah lessons and stuff like that, whatever, and they survive. Can you and I live like that? I don't know. Once again, there's a lot of kashrut for you and me. Can they live like that and be happy and are the kids happy and whatever? Gesundheit, go do what you want. I'm saying, and there's some woman that would say, I can't stand on all day, I need to get out of it. So they go out, they do some work or whatever. That's a new thing, an old thing, I don't know. I guess it's probably the feature of the society we live in. I mean, 100 years ago, if you were living in Kovno, even if you wanted to get out, where were you going? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying even Kovno, which wasn't a metropolis, but it wasn't a little village either. It wasn't Radin, let's say. Kovno was a little bit bigger than Radin, let's say. If you lived, let's say, there, or even if you lived in Riga, which was a city in those days, where were you going to go? Window shopping? To the mall? Well, what were you going to do? Where were you going to get a job? Glacier woman didn't work. The only job you could get as a barmaid or something like that. I mean, where else could a woman get a job? Huh? Where did Glacier woman work? You know, it used to be very fashionable. The fashion was not to be tanned. You know that? Why? Not to be tanned. Not to have any tan. To be white. Why? Because the noble woman never went out in the sun. So they were always white. And who worked outside in the sun and worked in the fields and dug whatever?
Peasants.
Were the peasants. And they always got tanned. So being tanned was a low-life story. Today it's the opposite. Today it's the opposode. If you white somebody, it means you're stuck at home and you never go out. It's a nebuch. But if you go out and you work and you know, you're jogging and whatever. So that's called... The world's changed. Things change. We don't change according to the changes of society. We do what needs to be done according to Das Torah. That's what Das Torah said was needed. Yeah, and in America as well. Well, Lakewood's not built on this. Anyway, those were the women then who were Moisei Nefesh and understood, and they were rare and whatever. Lo kein ayom. Kiyom batzias beis Yaakov nisas the Talmud Chochem. Kikach kuloisos. It's even starting to change. There's a trend that's reversing. Girls don't want to marry someone who's going to sit and learn the whole day and they have to take a chras for the panos or whatever. They want someone who's going to work as well. You hear that very often. Well, I've dafka begam mesirais in the Torah. It's not because of their mesiris to Torah that these girls are marrying a Talmud Chok and they want to marry. Who do you want to marry? I want to marry someone who's going to learn the whole day. You know? Used to interview guys coming to the yeshiva. You ask them, why do you want to come to the yeshiva? I want to grow in Torah. Well, that's what they told you have to say. You ask him, well, what's wrong with you now? Nothing. We'll say, why do you want to change? You know, so you ask him, why? You know, who do you want to marry? I want to marry someone who's going to learn full time. Why? They don't know. As long as they're mysterious nefesh, because they believe and want and are going to mamash. Lefamim af lo nitenes ha'arocha nechoyne betocheicha mishpacha labala ne'ene. There's also today not enough respect for someone who is nene, miyagia kopov, and is kovei itim l'toyra. Someone who does that is like a second-class citizen. It's not acceptable today. Somebody who works half day and learns half day or whatever is a kvar second-class citizen. You mean you're working? You nene miyagia kopov? Are you mad? No one does that. It's a bizoin. Mashim akuba mod hu shanoshim tzena lavod. The woman go out and work, but kol mokum, but kol mechir. Wherever and however and whatever the price you pay. Yaitzim lavod gami makoymes avoida einu krevim lechoma macharedis. Even if the workplaces are not bidyuk, what we would call matim for a Haredi girl. They do have some that are. They have in Akira Tsefer. The mayor there was very oisek in setting up high-tech places that are ma'od, ma'od, matim for a Haredi woman. They can pick the kids, they're this, they're that, whatever. Not saying not. Of all, there are many places that are not called kach, matim. Menaisef lakach, metsuyim mikoyim eshiyesh be midnu zaveira. And some of them is mamash a midnu zaveira. We had one of our avreichim, he's an accountant, used to work in an accountant's office where there were no women. No woman. You work in an office today, there's secretaries, there's women around. There's no pashut. I'm not saying yes or no. I'll ask you an Orthodox rabbi. No pashut. They tell me, no, it doesn't affect me. So go see a psychiatrist then. It doesn't affect you. You don't have a Yetzer Hara? Talk about affects you. Of course it affects you. Huh? I'm not saying yes, no, I'm just saying there are situations that need to be checked out and seen. Don't just take it for granted. This guy found a job, he wasn't prepared to work anywhere else. He found an accountant that doesn't have any women in the office. All men and the secretary's a man, everyone's a man. Shalom al Yisrael. You get offices like that where there's only women. Shalom al Yisrael. But you have men and women together on these things and then they go on these weekend courses and conferences. And I said, oh, come on, we know what happens. It's stupid. Once again, I have a friend who teaches in Sen. How does he do that? I couldn't. He does. Masada. He asked Rabbi Lashem, and Rabbi Lashem told him how to do it and whatever, and he does it. And if you're teaching Sam, you don't just get up and give lectures. You have to meet these girls afterwards one-on-one. You have to, Abseder, okay. You have to know. I'm not saying not. I'm just telling you what the problems are. Uladayv and Leiv, and he's talking 30 years ago, 20 years ago, as we see with our eyes, not one and not two families got destroyed, Rahman al-Atslan, because of a bad choice of where they were working. His almus mikach shemokem ze ol livgoe bekvoide v'atziloso shobas Yisrael. Bar nishkach shetasukoseinu bepanosa hi shtadlus bilvad umatarosa hi hachonas kain lekabolas birke shemal. The husbands sometimes forget that the shtadlus is only a goal of preparing a kli that can become a birke shemal. What bracha are you gonna get if you're ishtadlus is Isaac with avairas? You're preparing a kli for birkas Hashem going against the rotzen Hashem. That makes sense to anybody? I'm not saying it's not a nisoyin. Don't get me wrong. This is a major nisoyin that everybody has. But if we mechazak the hashkofas properly, at least maybe the next time we have a nisoyin, we'll be able to be a bit better. We understand a kli soduk. There's a crack in this vessel. I remember once one Godel, I can't remember what it says, the kid went off the derech, and the Godel said it's because they feed him treif food. He eats treif. So they said, what are you talking about? Eat treif food. Where do they eat treif food? He says, the money the father makes is not honest money. Therefore, he's buying food with treif money. The food's treif. What do you think from the kids going to happen to the children if you feed them treif food? Remember the roving Tifrach once got up and told people in the Shabbos Shuvah Drosha, please don't come into my shul with your Abba Minim. Because it's all stolen. You're borrowing money to buy Abba Minim. You can't afford the Abba Minim you're coming into shul with. You're not buying the 150 shekel set, you're coming here with $100 less regim. Where do you get the money from that? You're borrowing it. Do you know how you're going to pay it back? Gemara says if you borrow money, you don't know how to pay it back. You're a gazlan. So please don't come into my shul with your stolen aluminium. Stolen aluminium?
The way he said.
Rav Yaakovson said this in Tifrach. There's some choshev people sitting in that audience. Al tikanes poim aluminium zegzei legemura takulam gazlanim. I'm not saying everybody borrows money to buy the aluminium, and I'm not saying everybody who borrows is a gazlan. In fact, the Chazanish says if you borrow near betochen, that you'll be able to pay it back. That also helps. And the question is, there's a problem with that betochen. What kind of betochen does it have to be? That you have so much betochen that Hashem will give to you, if somebody wants to borrow the same amount of money, you'll lend them the money, you're not worried about not getting it back. It means the betochen works both ways. You'll borrow money because you get betochen that you're able to pay it back, or you prefer to lend money with betochen that you'll get it back. It's the same father. Chazani says, if you have the betochen, that the same amount, somebody comes to ask you for that money, you'll lend it to him, you won't be worried not getting it back. Then you can borrow on the betochen. Sometimes a guy borrows, he doesn't know exactly how to pay it back, but he knows in 6 months' time he's getting a dividend, he's getting a this. So that's not called a gazlan. But if you really don't know how you're going to get back, the only way you're going to get it back is by borrowing more money. You know, you're going to magalgal your credit cards. So it's gazela. So who says you have to do that? Who says I have a chiv to do that?
From one gemat to pay another gemat.
That's what I'm saying. You're Magal Gilchim. Who says that that's called knowing how you're paying it back? You're getting more debt. You're not paying back the choiv. Whatever. There's no halachas here. You have to ask your own halachas before you borrow money. Rav Malinowitz gave a shiur on borrowing money. It's terrifying borrowing money. It's not so simple. You're going to sit down and eat and you think to yourself, 1 second, am I paying for this? But I owe somebody money. Or maybe you have to pay him back before you eat. Maybe you have to sell all your furniture in order to generate the money to pay back the loan.
Is it the same
category of
people that ask you to do work and they say, they say, I'll pay you when I can, like I should be able to pay you soon, and 3 months later they still haven't paid you, and yet they say, look, maybe I'll pay you in a month.
What you should do is, I've had a whole bunch of Isurei Deraisas. That's another halacha. This is another halacha. This is poshut. First of all, the Yom HaTit in Scholoi. Unless you meichel them. Okay? And they're over losalim. Don't keep a pole waiting for his work. What you should do is not be meichel them. You should tell them, I want to get paid today, for the halacha. So at least now, if they don't pay you, they're over a bunch of Isidorises every day.
Yeah, but is it right to do that to somebody?
What do you mean? He's not doing anything to anybody. He's just not being meichel them.
Yeah.
He's, once again, the Torah says if somebody does work for you, you have to pay them on the day. Before Shkia.
Correct.
Fine. So all you can do is to stop that is you can be meichel them. Or you can be Sheva Taisa, not meichel them.
You're not going to get paid anyway, so why should you do that?
You may get paid. If a guy realizes he's over in Isidorais and he's Mavatla Mitzvah, you meichel me. I know myself. Sometimes I know somebody comes to work in my house or whatever, I'm not going to be back before Shkia to pay him or whatever, and I didn't leave money with my wife to pay. So I ask him, please be meichel me. You don't get the mitzvah of Yom HaTit in Schorei, but you're not even the Isur Alim. Because he was meichel you. It often happens, I have to find a plumber and whatever, and I say to him, I'll come pay you tonight. Mazda says, I'm going to come pay you tonight. It's over, you're over Los Alim. So you have to ask him to be meichel you. But if you don't ask him and he's not meichel,
but the dafka say you're not going to be meichel.
You don't have to dafka, you just have to be Sheval Taisa. If he doesn't say anything and you don't say anything, the guy's to pay you bashkia. So you said the rice, it's like eating chaza. It couldn't be worse than eating chaza. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The guy's working. I'll tell you a Moedika thing. What's it based on? What's it based on? We don't dash in time with a crow, but what's this based on? There are many shitters that hold that if you pay the guy before he does the work, you're not makayim the mitzvah of the Yom HaTit and Schorei. It doesn't make too much sense, right? If he does the work and then you pay him, you makayim the mitzvah of the Yom HaTit and Schorei. If you pay before he does the job, I'm not asking, sometimes they ask for an advance because they have to buy materials or whatever. I'm talking about you pay the guy before. You're not makayim the mitzvah of the Yom HaTit and Schorei. What are you talking about? He'd much rather be paid before.
Mm-hmm.
Torah says no. If you pay him before, why is he working now? To pay off a debt. To pay off a debt. If he's waiting to be paid, he's working to earn a salary. He's earning to make a panosa. So he feels good about himself. Masha'en Kain, he's working to pay off a debt. You don't have the same agosha of toiv. That's the subtlety behind the Torah's mitzvah here. The Berkowitz used to say it's better to go by bus than by taxi than by bus. Because the bus, you pay the guy before you get the ride. The taxi, you pay afterwards. I don't know if there's a din of Yom HaTit in Schorei to a taxi driver. I'm just saying whatever. Probably there is. A taxi for sure. I don't know about the bus. The vote is if people aren't paying you or you're not paying your workers, it's a deraisa. It's not a chumra. It's not minis chassidus. Well, I'm a real tzaddik, you know. I paid work on time. That's like saying I'm a real tzaddik. I didn't steal, you know. What are you talking about? It's not different from gneiva and chaza and not putting on tefillin. And it's the same deraisa. Fuck. What is it? What should you do? Avani should be moichel. But you shouldn't let them know you moichel them. You shouldn't let them know you moichel them.
It's a shame because the guy's clearly living and like still buying all these nice things for his family.
I'm telling you. Send him a lawyer's letter, you'll get your money very quickly. I'm telling you.
Like
send him a lawyer's letter, you'll get your money very fast. Very fast. Very fast.
Just call me out.
The ones that they want to pay will just laugh.
I did just now, and he tells me it'll be in another couple of months, but meanwhile, like, I can't be
to pay. What do you mean, couple of months? Don't go slicha. The Torah says today. Send him a lawyer's letter. Send him, I'm telling you now, get the lawyer to write a letter. It'll cost you 150 shekels or whatever. Send him a letter, get your money straight away. Rabbi Yanka Friedman once told me, he said, when you lend people money, after a while, the guy thinks the money's his. So now he's doing you a favor by paying you back.
Yeah.
You ask him, when can I get my money back? The guy says, yeah, whatever, you know, when I get round to it, I'll do you a favor and I'll give you back my money. It's my money now. But it's the same with the plumber. He's doing you a favor by paying you.
I think the rabbi's rabbis told us, there's an image of like, you know, lending money to someone and like something you know to him, but like, please don't hate me. What do you mean please don't hate me? Because you're not going to pay back for the time I've to do it, and you're going to resent me the fact that you owe me the money.
Not me. Chasra Khalila. I just said if you lend money, you may not get it back.
Right. My father always said when I was growing up, he said, my teacher, you're so good life. Never ever lend any amount of money unless you're fully prepared to know in your heart. Once that money's gone, you're never going to get it back.
So I don't agree.
If you know you'll never get it back, then you can lend it, otherwise you'll be absolutely...
I don't agree. Everybody says that. It's a well-known statement, and I don't agree. You have to lend money in such a way that you make sure that you get it back. You have a responsibility to get it back. You want a gift stocker, gift stocker. But you're lending money? Make sure that you get Aravid. Get proper Aravid. Work, do the ishtadas you can do to make sure that the guy pays you back.
The guy gives you a check.
No. Check's nothing. What's a check? What's a check? He doesn't have to even stop. It's a little bounce. What is a check? Check's nothing. You lend money, you get a raving, you get it causes agmas nefesh. It causes, even if you made up your mind, you're giving it, you don't want it back, whatever. So give it a stalker. Why are you borrowing it? Why are you lending it? I had this with somebody. They lent the yeshiva money, and I phoned him up to say, I'm having a bit of a hard time. I can't pay you back this month. He said, okay, I'll pay you back next month. He said, look, I don't really need the money right now. You can keep it as long as you want. If I ever need that money, oiva voy me, that my life will be really whatever. So I said, give it as a donation. Why are you keeping it as a life? No, one day I may, you know, like, one day I may need it, you know, but oiva voy the day that I need it. You know, it's like, if I ever need that money, that means like, you know, the guy's a millionaire and I owe him $5,000. Like, if he has to ask for the money back, it means oiva voy. So why keep it as a loan? Just give it as a donation then.
What does one do? The donator is nifter.
If it's a donation, it's a donation. If it's a loan, You have to pay the yoshin.
I had an uncle who lent someone when I was in the shadar. And I spoke to his daughter and I said, what do I do? He told us before
he was nifted,
but it
happened. Fine, so there's machila. So there's machila, okay, but seven. But if not, then you have to pay the yoshin.
I know. What is the reference about this one?